From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's Thursday, September the 8th, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. And Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor will be here to take up the cash grain market. In agricultural news, it looks like China may need 10% more soybeans from the world market in the coming year. The CEO of Cargill is back out in front of the media talking about higher feed costs for his company's poultry division. And Valero has looked into its crystal ball, saying the blender's tax credit is going to go away by the end of the year, but that the ethanol mandate won't. Actually, both are already true statements if nothing in Washington changes between now and December 31st. We'll have details of these and other news stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear our bi-weekly In My Backyard segment from Lisa Braltz and from meteorologist Peter Levitt. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the lower. Nearby contract in the wheat futures at 7.09 and a quarter, down 5.5 cents. That's the September, July of next year at 7.99 and three quarters. For soft red, 11 lower in Chicago. Hard red July from Kansas City down 11 and a quarter at $8.58 and three quarters. September corn today at 7.23 and a quarter, 13 and a quarter cents lower. December at 7.34, down 14 cents. March at 7.46 and three quarters, 14 cents lower. The May at 7.54, down 13 and three quarters. In July, $7.58.5, down 13 and a half cents. Next year's December at 6.59, down 4 3/4 cents. September soybean futures 3 3/4 lower at $14.07.25. November 14.18 1/4, down 2.5 cents. January at 14.28.5, 3 lower. March at 14.34 3/4, down 2.5. And the May at 14.37 1/4, down 1 3/4. July beans at 14.43 1/4, down a penny and a quarter, and the November contract of next year, actually a gainer there, up a half cent at $13.90 1/2. Bean meal finished at $3.65.50, down $1.70. Bean oil at $57.82, down 36 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the October at 118.82 1/2, up $1.17 1/2. December at $119.05. 35 cents higher. September feeders at 133.95, up 2.5. October at 135.60, 85 cents higher. And lean hogs at 86.80, up $1.95 for a Thursday. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like. At this hour, crude oil futures, $88.99 a barrel, down 35 cents. Ethanol at $2.77 1/2, 3 4/10 lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.04 1/2, down 3 cents for the day. Natural gas at $3.98 8/10, that's up 4 8/10. And the gold futures at $1,854.40, up $40.20. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,313, down just about 101 points. Now, a very important note from our Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, about some things that will be happening in the next couple of weeks on this radio station.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. In roughly a week, around September 14th, we will begin major antenna tower work on our AM580 signal. That means you won't be able to hear our agricultural programming on the air during at least a portion of the harvest season. The work is expected to take 2 weeks to complete. However, we have accelerated our rollout of a smartphone-willag.org mobile website that will allow you to continue to receive all of our agricultural programming on a timely basis. We will be finalizing the site in just a day or two, and we will give you updates as we know them. Todd and I thank you for your patience as we work out the details.
We'll have more on the details as we get closer to that time. Again, starting next Wednesday, that's the 14th day of September, we'll go to just 100 watts, and you're unlikely to hear our programming on your radio. We'll be gone for a couple of weeks and then back. They're fixing the guide wires at the – actually, not fixing, but doing regular maintenance on the guide wires. It needs to happen about every 50 years or so, and it takes some time on those radio towers, and we'll be down for just a bit.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line with us this afternoon for Thursday to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. How are you, Dan?
Doing fine, Todd.
I'm doing well, too. I've been feverishly working to try to figure out how to put together a mobile app like the one you guys at ADM announced last week. That is a very nice app. It's at adm.com/farmerview, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's a beautiful
/farmerview. Now, that'll show up on a mobile phone or smartphone, or we've got it right now is if you have a tablet, it'll show up as a mobile phone app. But now, if you put it on a PC, you're going to go to the full version of FarmerView, and that has not been refreshed yet compared to the mobile site. We spent all summer working on the mobile site to get it ready here this fall for the farmers, because we know that smartphones are becoming quite popular among the farm community, as well as tablets, and we felt that our priority was to get it on smartphones and tablets more so than the PC. So that is why we introduced it at the Farm Progress Show.
I have not looked, but the important part to me is there are some technical notes from you on there that are posted periodically. What did your last one say?
Basically, I said the corn yesterday's outside down reversal on the corn kind of teed up a decline down. First target or first line of support was going to be somewhere around in the middle 720s. So today we came down here in the low 30s. So we still have a little room yet to come on down here for the first target. I think the mid-20s will find some pretty decent support. That will also be about the mid-channel of this long uptrending channel that's been in place basically on the December contract since a year ago, June. We have kind of poked our nose outside of that channel on occasion. Just recently, when we went up to the 779, that was kind of a push out of the upper end of the channel. And, of course, on the June report, we fell down underneath that channel, but quickly rallied back inside that channel. So once you have a broad-based channel, a lot of times the market will find support and resistance in the middle of that channel. And the midpoint, the way I kind of have it drawn, is going to be somewhere here in 23, 24, 25. So my target, at least based upon the price action on that reversal down that we had yesterday a little bit, said that these corn was vulnerable down to this 723. If the report turns out bearish, or you could probably read the decline or the correction down another dime or so, maybe back into the 715 area. So that's what I had on those comments on FarmerView. They're brief comments. I try to do it in two or three sentences. And they're going to be primarily geared towards short-term price action, not necessarily longer-term. As we develop that, eventually that's going to be podcast and an audio vodcast, and we will have charts on that. And I'll have a picture of a chart, and you'll hear me in the background talking about that chart. So that's all coming on phase two. Hopefully we can maybe get that on board here later this fall.
All right. And, of course, we are in the process of developing our own mobile app. Should have that one to roll out to you. It's a mobile website, not an app. And we'll work like the FarmerView one does on the ADM site on Androids and iPhones and BlackBerries and all kinds of smartphones. So you can look forward to that. You said you didn't talk much about the longer term. I'll bet producers are kind of interested. Do you think there's a high in the marketplace already for harvest for corn?
Well, I think you have to at least keep that in mind. I mean, when we were at the Farm Progress Show, we had that hard down day there a week ago today, I guess.
Right.
Then we snapped back a little bit on Friday, and now we've kind of drifted back down underneath that low at 737.5. So chart-wise, the pattern does imply that there is a a little deeper correction coming, but that is not out of the a normal pattern. We've had a nice little rally basically from the August crop report there, or just prior to the crop report, of 669 or so. So, you know, that was about a $1.10 rally. So giving part of that back is not uncommon. One observation, and this is just some of the stuff that I look at. We do have a full moon coming at us, and a lot of times when the market breaks into a full moon, a lot of time that kind of signals that you're breaking into some kind of low, give or take a day or so around that full moon. So will be interesting to see how that plays out. If that's the case, that kind of says that USJ's report could be probably on the friendly side. We'll maybe rally out of USJ's report.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
The only thing I want to say is I'm totally humbled by all of the WLL listening audience that stopped by the ADM tent last week and expressed their appreciation of the information that we provide on WLLL, and I guess I'm quite humbled from it, and just want to make sure everybody knows that I do not walk on water. And while in this kind of market, it gets real tricky, but a lot of them reminded me last spring when I told them there was two time frames to kind of be careful for a high, and that was going to be in the June time frame,
right,
and the other one was going to be in the September time frame. So I leave them with that there's a lot of noise out here in this market, and maybe this crop report, maybe the crop's not quite as small as what the market has worked in, and if that's the case, we're going to have a little setback in here.
Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
You have a good day. Now, Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the closing market report on this Thursday afternoon.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. In roughly a week, around September 14th, we will begin major antenna tower work on our AM580 signal. That means you won't be able to hear our agricultural programming on the air during at least a portion of the harvest season. The work is expected to take 2 weeks to complete. However, we have accelerated our rollout of a smartphonewillag.org mobile website that will allow you to continue to receive all of our agricultural programming on a timely basis. We will be finalizing the site in just a day or two, and we will give you updates as we know them. Todd and I thank you for your patience as we work out the details.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, a nationwide agricultural advisory firm and land auction company specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of farmland and agribusiness investments. Land, auctions, agribusiness. More information is at murraywiseassociates.com.
In agricultural news, analysts in Shanghai say that China's soybean imports are likely to climb more than 10% to around 58 million tons in the year ahead, as the world's biggest buyer of the grain ramps up pork production to ease tight supply and food inflation. The country's imports in the year to September 2012 could even hit 60 million tons if pig farmers boost stocks. The estimates of Chinese imports is higher than the 56.5 million tons forecast by USDA and the 54.5 million tons estimated by the official China National Grain and Oils Information Center. China is estimated to have purchased 52.5 million tons of soybeans in 2010-11. The chief executive of Tyson Foods says that high corn costs, which have shocked the profits of chicken processors, will remain near their current level for years to come. Donnie Smith says, quote, "We've made another structural shift in corn prices that we'll have to deal with for years. Higher feed costs have squeezed chicken processors who have had to purchase higher-priced birds, even as supplies of chicken in the U.S. have outstripped demand, pushing prices to historical lows. However, Smith says exports of U.S. meat will continue to rise." The chief executive of leading independent U.S. refiner Valero Energy Corporation expects a U.S. tax credit for ethanol to be eliminated. Bill Kleiss says, quote, "We believe the blender's credit for ethanol is going to go away, but the mandate will remain. The tax credit, which saves ethanol blenders like Valero $6 billion a year, has been targeted for elimination as the U.S. Congress weighs steps to reduce federal budget deficits." The Farm Service Agency says that farmers and ranchers who have faced weather-related losses this year can get federal disaster aid if they document those losses by September 30th, the date the USDA's Supplemental Revenue Assistance Program expires. Crop producers do not need to harvest or sell their crops by September 30th, only document the loss by then to be eligible for benefits under the Supplemental Revenue Agricultural Disaster Assistance Program, known as SURE. Farmers in Brazil's Mato Grosso have sold as much as 30% of next winter's corn output. Mato Grosso agriculture officials say that Brazil has seen forward sales for corn before, but never on this scale and never this early. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support comes from Common Ground Food Co-op in Lincoln Square Mall. Community-owned since 1974, Common Ground is a full-service grocer featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois. More information is on their website at www.commonground.coop. And from Prairie Fruits Farm, makers of farmstead and artisan cheeses and growers of organic tree fruits and berries. This summer, Prairie Fruits holds a cheese and gelato open house on Tuesdays from 3 to 7 p.m. Information on products and activities at prairiefruits.com and on Facebook at Prairie Fruits Farm and Creamery.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Coming up next, Lisa Brotz muses on, when it comes to food, just how local is local in her latest edition of In My Backyard.
Here's a question that's been kicked around a lot these last few years. When you're talking about food, what's your definition of local? Is it your own backyard? Is it 100 miles from your backyard? 1,000? I've been thinking about this quite a bit lately in the context of the phrase local food economy. It's a phrase that's making the rounds. But when someone says local food economy, it can have two different, though related, definitions. It can mean the economics involving all food made available and consumed in a location, even food grown or otherwise produced in other places. It can also mean the economics of local food, food that's grown or otherwise produced in a specific location or area. Local food, for most of us, is food that's sold directly to consumers within that area, like at a farmer's market or a roadside stand, or maybe food that's sold by farmers into restaurants in that area. The state of Illinois' definition of local is, well, the state of Illinois, as defined by the Illinois Local Food Farms and Jobs Council. Urbana's Market at the Square, one of our local farmers' markets here, has the same definition. On the other hand, there are people who consider local food to mean anything grown or produced within 25 miles of where they live, or 50, or 100. But I think there's something we can all agree on. It's not good for the economics of local food anywhere in Illinois when the people of our state spend $48 billion, with a B, dollars a year on food, and the vast majority of those food dollars are going to producers outside the state. That means that while we export corn and soybeans and other foods grown here in Illinois, very important to our state's economy, we're importing most of the foods we eat, fruits and vegetables, meats and grains, from other states or other countries. And while Illinois is not the only state where this is happening, it's certainly a state with some seriously good soils and a growing number of its people demanding locally grown and produced foods for their tables and, increasingly, their institutions. We're missing an opportunity here. Importation of food means more than just money being spent. It means food is traveling much further to reach the people who will be eating it, burning a lot of fossil fuel and creating a lot of wear and tear on our aging roads. It means that foods we eat are not only being grown outside the state, but they're being processed outside the state as well. And processing creates employment opportunities. And maybe most importantly, importation of food means the communities importing it are not even close to being able to feed themselves. That's not to say that food produced locally in any state can meet all of a community's or state's needs. But even if we were able to source 20% of our food from Illinois farms and producers, it would make a huge difference to the Illinois economy as well as to the eaters in Illinois. This sourcing would include whole foods, but would also include processed foods like corn chips made from Illinois corn or tomato sauces made from Illinois-grown tomatoes or frozen Illinois strawberries. Many processed foods are canned and frozen, and so no season. The idea is that eventually these foods will move beyond the smaller niches of farmers' markets and specialty groceries and will be distributed more widely throughout Illinois. We need the land to grow the food and the farmers to grow it. We need the facilities to process it. But before any of those things can happen, we need a plan. We need new, enhanced ideas of what food means to local economic development and why dedicating resources to these kinds of projects is important. And to do that, we need numbers. Ken Meter, president of the Crossroads Resource Center in Minneapolis, is an award-winning food systems analyst who's worked with many states and communities nationwide. Crossroads is a nonprofit organization dedicated to, in their words, working with communities and their allies to foster democracy and local self-determination. He'll be coming to Urbana this Saturday morning after spending a couple of days working with groups in Bloomington, Normal, and Peoria to present an analysis of the Central Illinois local food economy. While he hasn't worked specifically with our two towns, our area has been included in his research, and he'd like to tell us about what he's found. If you want to listen, the session is free and open to the public and is happening this Saturday, September 10th, at Common Ground Food Co-op in Urbana. His presentation will begin at 10:30 a.m., and he'll be taking questions from the audience. I hope to see you there. It's time to get this local food economy thing started. This is Lisa Braltz for In My Backyard.
Lisa Braltz's stories can also be heard on our website, WILLAG.org. Click on the In My Backyard link in the right navigation window.
You're listening to WILL at willag.org online. On the phone line with us this afternoon to take a look at a Thursday cash grain market is Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Todd.
Have you harvested any more corn?
Yeah, we've probably gotten a couple hundred acres out, and several of the farmers coming into the elevator have, they've probably gotten, 10% into their crop so far. So there's been several bushels harvested right in this area right in here.
All April planted corn, or are you saying anything?
I'd say 90% of it. But, there is a couple of guys picking, 107, 8-day corn that was planted first week of May. So there's a little bit of that starting to trickle in as well.
Is there a yield gap between the two?
I've heard a little bit of everything, to be honest. Some of the guys are awfully happy with their April. Some aren't. I would say more guys are a little bit sketchy about their May corn than what they are about the April. But the real factor, I guess, that you keep hearing a lot of is corn on corn has been struggling quite a bit. So that's what we've been hearing the most of, at least.
That seems to be a common theme over the last couple of years, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
What do you think of the cash grain market at this time?
Well, it's pretty interesting to see. We were expecting a quiet day today, and to be honest, some of the outside markets aren't doing a ton. I mean, you see, the dollar was up, and crude oil was off a little, but crude oil wasn't off $3 or $4. I guess I was surprised to see corn slide the way it was, but I think there's probably a fair amount of hedge pressure coming into this, maybe, especially with the guys that are a little bit happy with their yields.
Yeah, so you suppose they're going ahead and they're making their sales and they're hedging things off?
I've seen a little bit of that, yeah.
All right. What are your bids for the day?
724 on cash corn, 712 for fall, and then 1394 on cash beans and 1385 for fall.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Thank you.
Matt Bennett is with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. We'll say so long now to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, stay with us back in 2 minutes with the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Date Nut Bread Day. Dates have been cultivated in the Middle East for millennia. Dates were introduced into Mexico and California by the Spaniards by 1765. Date palms can take between 4 to 7 years after planting before they will bear fruit and produce viable yields for commercial harvest between 7 to 10 years. On this day in agricultural history in 1636, the Great and General Court of Massachusetts Bay Colony established Harvard College, the first college in the Americas. In 1790, Canvas White was born. An American engineer, he assisted Benjamin Wright in the building of the Erie Canal. One of his great contributions was discovery of the ability to make cement from limestone along the canal route. And he ultimately received the first U.S. patent for waterproof cement. In 1930, Richard Drew invented the first waterproof see-through pressure-sensitive tape. Incidentally, 5 years earlier, Drew observed at a local auto body shop that auto painters had difficulty making clean dividing lines on two color paint jobs. And after 2 years of effort in the company's labs, he also invented masking tape, a tan paper tape with a light, pressure-sensitive adhesive backing. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Time to check the weather forecast. Pete Leavitt is with us, as usual. Thanks, Pete, for being on the phone line.
My pleasure.
Farmers are anxious now, I suppose, to make sure that they're having a good couple of weeks to get started on their harvest season, though they wouldn't mind a rainfall either, I don't think.
Well, we've got a little bit of rain coming in the next few days, at least in the eastern half of the belt and then down to the southern portions of the western belt. This is moisture coming up from Tropical Storm Lee, actually, that's found its way into the mid-Atlantic states and is now drifting westward through parts of Indiana, Ohio, Illinois. We'll see some showers from that. It won't amount to much, but it will keep it cloudy and unsettled from Illinois on eastward for the next couple of days. But the big question everybody looks at this time of year is how long is the growing season going to last? And we do not have good news on that score. We're going to get the first hint that colder air is coming next week. About this time next week, we'll be looking at some temperatures getting down into the low 40s and maybe even a few upper 30s in parts of the northwestern Corn Belt as a warning that maybe the summer is over. But then the real problem is the following week. And about from the 21st through about the 25th of the month, I'm looking for a very good shot of the first frost of the season coming for the upper Midwest, parts of the western Corn Belt, for parts of the interior of the Great Lakes states, and, of course, the Canadian prairies are going to get taken care of, too, especially in Ontario and southern Manitoba. So we're looking for our first good look at frost and possibly freeze the week after next, and that will be about two Thursdays from now, the week after next Thursday, and we'll be looking at that, and we'll be talking about that, I'm sure, next week.
Now, I know that you've been keeping an eye on that area of the world, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska. North Dakota in particular looks like it may have a very good corn crop at this point, but it's pretty late in the season. Have you done the calculations? Would that freeze or frost be pretty damaging?
Yeah. The coldest thrust of it will be down through Minnesota. North Dakota will get a glancing blow from it, but I think, unfortunately, most of the corn's in the eastern part of the region that is subject to cold temperatures. This is a wild guess, Todd, but I'd look for temperatures getting down into the 29 to 33 degree range anyway.
Okay, thank you so much. Any part of the world that we ought to check on before I let you go?
No, that's the one I've been looking at, and we'll concentrate on it next week.
Okay, thanks so much. Pete Leavitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Thursday afternoon. You can always visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. And don't forget that on the 14th of this month, we'll go to a very, very low wattage. You'll probably not be able to hear us. We're developing a brand new mobile app so that when you're in your combine with your smartphone, you can still pick up all of our daily agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.